Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show with Selena Zito of the Washington Examiner. She writes the Middle of Somewhere column, and she has observed driving the Middle West where the election was determined in 2020, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Kentucky, Minnesota, Michigan, Iowa. That, despite the fact that the election's over, thank you very much, there's a new president. The former president is happily in Florida. The signs for 2020 remain, especially the Trump signs. Selena, you have a photograph accompanying your most recent story of Trump 2020. What does this mean? Why do people keep signs up? Is it nostalgia? Is this like keeping Christmas decorations up until April?
So it's really interesting. In my travels across the Midwest and in Appalachia and in the eastern seaboard of the South, I continuously saw Trump signs still up, either whether they're signs and or flags or a homemade sign. And they weren't just in the one particular kind of home. It was in city row houses, in working class areas, blue collar areas. It was in those early suburban neighborhoods, the first rung outside of the city, what we used to call the World War II bedroom communities. And it's also in wealthy communities, upper middle class, wealthy suburban neighborhoods, as well as farms in rural areas. And so I set about to talk and more importantly, to listen to the people about why they are up. The assumption, is very similar to the assumption about why people voted for Donald Trump, largely held by my profession, is that these signs are because they believe Trump is a cult and it's all about Trump. What in fact, it's much more complicated and nuanced than that. These people in a variety of different socioeconomic places keep their signs up because they want to remind, whether it's members of the community or their neighborhood or the press or politicians in general, that they're not going anywhere. They're not going away. This isn't about Trump. I have found that the majority of people that I interviewed, who, while they did vote for him, believe that it is time for someone new in 2024. And so it sort of discounts that attitude that is held by a lot of both journalists and the Never Trump sort of section of the Republican Party, that he's a cult and they're never going to give him up. They have given him up, but they haven't given up that ideal, that aspiration of being part of something bigger than themselves. And it's only something you discover if you spend the time to listen to these voters as to why these signs are still firmly planted in their yards.
Johnstown, Pennsylvania, May 31st, 1889. Selena's written a wonderful column about the day that the flood wiped out the town. However, because Selena introduced me to Johnstown in this famous fashion, and it's famous, it's tragic at the same time everybody thinks about it, because it was the greatest loss of life, I think, non-military, that America had experienced at the time. I got interested in Johnstown in a new book, Russell Shorto's story of his family coming to Johnstown in the late 19th, early 20th century, Italian immigrants from Sicily originally, and surviving the waves that came through the town after the flood, the steel mills, the coal fields to the north, and then the depression, the inability to survive unless you had a still in the basement and you sold under a prohibition. You sold out the back door. You took in boarders. The many children of the wives who had lost their husbands either through illness or smoking or they just disappeared. All of that became a joy to me to read in Russell Shorto's new book. Selena, Johnstown is America layers upon layers upon layers. I've never been there. Can you still see these epochs of Johnstown from the flood to prohibition to the first war, the second war, the depression? Is it still all there?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, the flood in 1889 still remains the third worst disaster, natural disaster that has disaster that and loss of life that has ever hit this country. Well over 2,000 people died. It's only behind 9/11 and Galveston in 1900. There are still plenty of sentinels remaining of post-industrial Appalachian Midwest. And Johnstown is sort of like the everyman or the every town of America, the Industrial Revolution America, and leading all the way up and surpassing World War II. It has a combination of these, what they would call company houses, row houses that were built for the workers, whether it was for the coal mine or the steel mill. Remnants of the mills and the coal mines still exist. So do the grand Victorian homes and the stately, four square homes and craftsman homes that were built in the outer rungs of the city as people became more successful. And it still has that very sense of community and belonging that it has had for, you know, well over 200 years.
From Russell Shorto, I learned how Johnstown became prosperous. Chiefly, the prosperity came not with the steel mills and the coal fields, but with the Second War. One day, an order showed up for something like 2,300 or 3,200 rail cars, and we're talking about the Great War demanding all the workers in the foreseeable region to come together and develop. It was part of the arsenal of democracy. After the war, did it prosper again through the 1950s and 60s? When do you judge was its peak prosperity? Because these days, it's just part of a larger story of rural America.
Yeah, it absolutely continued to prosper because after the war, soldiers came home and they were ready to work. And they either went to school through the GI Bill or they built homes. And the steel was churning out the products, not just for these homes, but also what Eisenhower implemented with the interstate system. So we were building and building and building. There was which we now know is false sense of stability for men and women who work with through their hands, and that automation wasn't going to take over. But that was largely based on this generation who built out the suburbs and built out the exurbs and built the bridges and the towns and the railroad tracks that provided that great post-World War II boom under the Eisenhower era.
Selena Zito, she is the Middle of Somewhere columnist for the Washington Examiner. I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, CBS Audio Network.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.